All right, pulmonary edema. Yesterday we said that the lung is a fairly dry place. And what is the mechanism for that dryness? Pressure? Well, okay, and I'm hearing osmotic pressure. So what about the osmotic pressure? Okay, osmotic pulls in, and the hydrostatic pressure that would normally push out in the lungs is actually lower than the osmotic pressure, which means that any fluid that is in the lungs is going to be sucked in to the bloodstream. Now, that's a good thing because we want the lungs to be full of air, not water. Okay, so this is normal. Now, the most common etiology for pulmonary edema is cardiac. And what's the condition that causes pulmonary edema? Heart failure. Which side of the heart would be the heart, would be the side that fails? Are you sure? Okay, so remember, heart failure is a forward and a backwards problem. So if we have right-sided failure, it's failing to pump forward into the edema. Is that going to cause pulmonary edema? No. What type of edema is that going to cause? Peripheral. It's going to back up to the feet. Now, the left side pumps to the body. So if it fails, the body will not get enough blood, so where will it back up to? To the lungs. So it's left heart failure is what backs up to the lungs and causes pulmonary edema. And look, it says it right here. Yeah. Now, at first, lymphatic drainage will try to manage the small amount of increase, but eventually it's not going to be able to anymore. So eventually lymphatic drainage becomes swamped and the edema develops. It usually occurs when atrial pressure is greater than 20 millimeters. Atrial pressure is normally -5. And it can occur at lower temperatures if lower oncotic pressure. I think this is supposed to be pressure. Yes. That doesn't make any sense. All right, so it can occur at lower pressures if there's lower oncotic pressure. What kind of person has lower oncotic pressure? Not renal failure. Nope. What causes oncotic pressure? Proteins. What produces proteins? Liver. So people with what kind of problem will have lower oncotic pressure? Liver problems, or what do we need to make those proteins in the first place? Proteins. So someone who's got protein malnutrition. So, you know, there's a lot of basic concepts that keep coming back to haunt you and bite you in the rear end if you don't keep them in the front of your mind right now. And that liver produces proteins. Proteins produce osmotic pressure. You need to remember that. All right, some other etiology. The number one etiology of pulmonary edema is heart disease. And what kind of heart disease? Left-sided heart failure. Some other problems. Increased permeability. This is usually going to be because of inflammation. Now, acute respiratory distress syndrome, ARDS, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Inhalation of toxic gases, such as ammonia, can cause it. Coal miner's lung over time can cause it. And then we have decreased lymphatic drainage. This is usually from cancer or cystic fibrosis or other fibrotic tissues. Heart failure can cause pulmonary edema in more than one way, and one of the ways it can do it is by causing increased venous pressure of the large pulmonary veins. All right, I think we've done that enough. What are the signs of pulmonary edema, by the way? Pulmonary edema. Say, crackles and sputum what? Pink and frothy. All right. And, of course, dyspnea. All right, aspiration. Aspiration is the breathing in of stuff that should not be breathed in. It's when you swallow something the wrong way. And it can be either liquid or solid, and it usually happens because of impaired swallowing, cough, or level of consciousness. So patients who are unconscious, who are being fed through a tube, very, very common for them to aspirate. Now, how can we, as nursing types, prevent aspiration in that patient? Okay, make sure the head of the bed is elevated. What else? If they're being fed through a tube, how much are we going to feed them? So you can make sure you don't feed them too much at any one time. Because if you put too much food in there, it's just going to back up. So you want to feed them relatively small amounts at one time and keep the head of the bed elevated. All right, so some fun reasons for aspiration. Substance abuse. Sedation. People who are sedated because of taking drugs. Anesthesia. Seizures. This is the big one here. Any neurological problem that affects swallowing, like a stroke, myasthenia gravis, and Guillain-Barré. Guillain-Barré is a syndrome where the body becomes paralyzed, starting from the fingers and moving up. We'll talk about it next semester when we talk about other neurological problems. But it's very fun. Weird, really strange, bizarre disease. No, but it goes away by itself if the patient doesn't die. But it doesn't always completely go away. And it takes different amounts of time. Some people get better within 6 weeks. Some people get better within 2 years. Weird, very, very fun, weird disease. Enteral feeding. Now, enteral feeding means being fed through a tube. And the tube can either go through your nose, or nose and down, or it can just be go, stick it straight through the skin. If it's put in through the nose, chances are it will be what we call a Dobhoff tube, which goes down into the duodenum. And if it goes directly through the skin, that's usually called a PEG or a G-tube. A PEG stands for percutaneous enterogastric tube, gastrostomy tube. So G-tube means gastrostomy tube. And then we have what we call the tracheoesophageal fistula, which is where you have a hole in the membrane separating the trachea and the esophagus. And what's the common cause for that? Endotracheal tube with the pump overinflated. All right, manifestations. Depends on what was aspirated. If it's large chunks of food, they may completely block a bronchus. Remember we said that hot dog pieces are the perfect size and shape to block up a little kid's airway. I mean, it's like perfect for it. So you should never feed your little kid just little hot dog chunks. What are you supposed to do? Cut them in half. Or slit it down the side when you cook it, then it'll like kind of open up. And that way they can at least go and get a little bit. If it's a low pH food, if it's an acidic food or acidic liquid such as stomach acid, then it can cause local inflammation that might lead to bronchiectasis and may require surgery to correct the problem. And we'll talk about what bronchiectasis is in a moment. All right, aspiration pneumonia or aspiration pneumonitis. Inflammation and pneumonia that are caused by aspiration. Especially if the oral cavity was colonized with bacteria, which is why oral care is so gosh darn important. How often do you guys brush your teeth? Twice a day? Anyone here a 3 or 4? Sometimes. Okay. Yeah, there's some people who are like, I am a 4-time-a-day brusher. Sometimes I just brush just for fun. Okay. But then we get into the hospital and we brush our teeth every fourth day, You know, the patient's unconscious, they're intubated, and whose job is it to brush their teeth now? The techs. But whose job is it to make sure it happens? Yours. Now, one of the things we found is that patients who are intubated, one of the number one things we can do to help prevent them from getting pneumonia, well, the first thing is get them off the vent. But besides that, oral care is hugely important. Because if they swallow, or if they breathe in any of their saliva, it's full of bacteria, they're going to get, chances are of them getting pneumonia are much higher. So pneumonitis is bronchial damage and loss of cilia action, leading to bronchospasm and inflammation, and alveolar hemorrhage, fibrosis, and atelectasis. Does that sound good? No. Even if you don't know what those words mean, which you should, you know that that's just not good. So clinical manifestations, choking, cough, vomiting, fever, dyspnea, and wheezing. Also recurrent lung infections. Sometimes someone just keeps getting these lung infections and you can't figure out why. Well, chances are they've got GERD and at night they're aspirating their gastric juices and it's causing them to have these problems. It can also cause a chronic cough. You just can't get over this cough and you don't have any allergies and you don't smoke and you don't have cancer and you don't have tuberculosis. And what's causing this cough? Could be that you're aspirating your own gastric juices at night. So, this brings us down to our take home. Anthony, would you like to read that first line for me? Read it like you mean it. Excellent. Prevention is better than treatment. So, as nurses, we are the ones who can help prevent aspiration. So, we're going to raise the head of the bed. We are not going to let our patients eat lying down, even though it's fun. We're going to give them thickened fluids if they're at risk for swallowing problems. We're going to set enteral feedings at a slower rate, not give as much at any one time. And we're going to check NG tube placement before we give anything through an NG tube. Now, once the patient has aspirated, we're going to know that aspiration pneumonitis has a 50% mortality. Think of how many lives you can save by just preventing this. So once a person has it, we can do bronchoscopy, stick a tube down their bronchi and try and pull out or suck out anything that's down there. We can do a help G suction, which will help to prevent more aspiration by sucking any gastric juices out. We can do mechanical ventilation. We can give them oxygen and PEEP, which is a ventilator setting. And then antibiotics if it becomes infected. But remember, 50% mortality. And poor nursing care is the number one cause. Okay. Atelectasis. Atelectasis is a collapse of lung tissue. Specifically, what part of the lung tissue? Alveoli. There's two different types of atelectasis, compression and absorption. So, compression atelectasis is caused by external pressure. Things like tumors, pleural effusions, abdominal distension, and patient lying on one part for too long. Then we have absorption atelectasis. This is a gradual collapse of the alveoli secondary to hypoventilation or obstructed airway. How do we prevent absorption atelectasis in our patients? Have them walk around. What else? Take deep breaths. How else? Incentive spirometer. An incentive spirometer is just a tube that has a little weight in it, and as they breathe in, the little weight goes up, and it gives them something to shoot for. That's why it's incentive. What else can we do? Yes, we can cough. Well, have the patient cough. Now, how can we prevent compression atelectasis? have the patient turn from one side to the other, or sit up, or walk around. Manifestations: dyspnea, cough, fever, leukocytosis. Leukocytosis? So just lung collapsing can cause elevated white blood cell count? And fever? Wow, that's kind of cool. Also, atelectasis can lead to pneumonia. Atelectasis can lead to... So when a patient comes back from surgery, especially if they've had chest or abdominal surgery, what do they not want to do? They don't want to breathe because it hurts. So what do we do for them? Pain medication. What else? Or better yet, walk them. What else? What? Okay, change position. What else? Cough, turn, deep breathe, and instant of spirometer. All of those things will go a long, long way to preventing atelectasis and preventing pneumonia. All right, treatment. If it's compression, relieve the compression. So if they have a tumor that's causing the depression, chop out the tumor. If they've got a pleural effusion, drain the effusion. We don't do that procedure typically. Just so you know. Absorption, deep breathing. Deep breathing is going to promote ciliary clearing of secretions. It's going to stabilize the alveoli by spreading surfactant around. And it's going to permit collateral ventilation through the pores of Cohen. I knew those were going to come back to us one day. Oh, I love the pores of Cohen. They're so much fun. All right, now we're moving into some other airway issues. First one is bronchiectasis. It is a persistent abnormal dilation of bronchi. So how many of you have big calves? Who works out here? Now, I've got big calves, and they run in the family. One of the problems that I have sometimes is that you pull your socks up and it stretches the elastic out so much that the socks won't stay up anymore. So anyway, that's essentially what bronchiectasis is. It's an inflammatory disorder where the bronchi become abnormally enlarged. So it compresses lung tissue and it also makes it so that air doesn't get through as well. It usually occurs with other respiratory conditions. Can also occur with systemic diseases like AIDS and rheumatologic diseases. The cause is found in less than 40% of the cases. Manifestation, number one, copious sputum. You have more bronchial area that produces sputum because they're abnormally enlarged, so you produce more sputum. And then hemoptysis, coughing up blood, because it's abnormally enlarged bleeding. Bronchi is bleeding. And then hypoxemia, you can't get enough blood or enough air through because of all the blood and sputum. Any questions about bronchiectasis? All you need to remember is abnormally enlarged bronchi, too much sputum, bleeding, can't get enough oxygen through. Caused by stuff. All right. Next, we have bronchiolitis. Bronchiolitis is the opposite. Bronchiectasis is abnormal dilation. Bronchiolitis is inflammation that causes constriction and inflammation. And it happens in very small airways. So it's bronchiolitis. Most common in children, can be caused by viruses or inhalation of toxic gases. Now, what's going to happen is behind the bronchiolitis, the alveoli are either going to collapse or become emphysematous. So collapse is that, we haven't talked about emphysema yet, so An emphysema, basically the alveoli are little bubbles, and they're going to turn into one big bubble. Beethoven's Vorlies, in case you're wondering. Usually diffuse, which means it happens all over the lung. And manifestations, high breathing rate, accessory muscle use, fever, dry cough, hyperinflated chest, and then hypoxemia. Question? Kind of like asthma. All right. We'll talk about it in a second. Now, treatment, antibiotics, steroids to stop the inflammatory process, and chest therapy. Chest therapy, let's talk about that for a moment. What we're going to do is we're going to have the patient lie down, and we're going to put a pillow underneath their hips. So now that their head is lower than their hips. So if there's any goo in their bronchi, where does it want to go? To the head, so they can cough it out. Then we are going to take your hands, and we're going to pound on their chest and on their back, and it's the shock of that being pounded on is going to loosen up the gunk so they can cough it up. That's called chest therapy. Bronchiolitis obliterans is a very late stage fibrotic, a late stage fibrosis. Anytime you see the word fibrosis, what do you think? Fibers, okay? Fibers all over the place. So what kind of fibers do we have in our body? Collagen. Say again? Collagen fibers. And what do collagen fibers form? Scars. So anytime you see the word fibrosis, you need to think the word scar. All right, so let's do a quick little... quick little diagram of our bronchiolitis. So here we have a bronchiole. What does a terminal bronchiole empty into? What's this area called? So this is a bronchiole. This area is called? Starts with an A. It's a dirty word. Asinus, yes. It's not really a dirty word, but maybe you'll remember it more if I tell you it's a dirty word.
So,
all right, so this is made up of a whole bunch of little bubbles, right? Okay. Now, what bronchiolitis is if you get inflammation of this little part of the bronchi right here, and it starts swelling up, and it's edematous, and now you've got excess sputum in there, now air can't get in or out of this. So what will happen is either you're going to get a collapse of this, or as you try and push the air out and you can't get it out, eventually this is going to expand and all these little walls in the middle are going to go away and you're just going to have one big air bubble, and that's the emphysema.
Is that repairable by the body, or is that just
easy? You'll lose this if it gets to this point. So once you've destroyed all those little pores, they don't come back. So.
What's it caused by?
It's caused by things that cause inflammation. So inhalation of toxic gases is a big one, and viruses is the other. Again, most common in children. So for those of you who want to be peds people,